Welcome to Carrots and Suffering, a D&D Odyssey. I am Nate, your Dungeon Master. We are headed to Endgame. Today is a bit closer to how I thought other cities were going to go. And if I have learned anything, it's definitely not how the last city is going to go. Onward and upward! Last time on Carrots and Suffering. Our heroes got back from the Feywild with the location of the book, and they decide to get it, but not deliver it to the Art Sage.
Well, here is a new question. How dangerous is it to bring this book and this artifact within Darren's vicinity?
I feel like it's less dangerous than leaving it anywhere.
I mean, true, but something to be on our guard about. I have reservations about just handing it over to him.
Definitely.
I'm also concerned about that.
But I believe you were right, Zerus. We have no business just leaving it somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know anywhere that would be safe.
They talk slash teleport their way into the house of Lyke Frykers, the current host of Vecna, and snatch from his boyhood room the book used to summon Vecna. I'm sorry, we're still grieving. I cannot allow a church official in this house.
I want you to know that I wrote a letter on your son's behalf heading into his trial.
With that, our heroes meet the parents of Max and Dredd and learn just what kind of humans produce the sharp edge of the pub. Again, towering late 60s lumberjack with a great axe walks up and says, Maxine Killington, you can call me Max Kill. And she extends this massive muscled hand.
Oh my god.
I accept the hand and give her a hearty shake.
I mean, Max's best friend, Millie?
What?
Yeah. No, a little Millie. A little Milton Celestial Moonbeam Ambrosia.
Yeah, so they go by Dredd now.
Said, hey, I'm Jerry Killington. Work down, selling carts. I'm a cart salesman. I can get you a good deal, by the way, if you need a good cart before you head out. A flowing woman, and maybe in her early 60s, she's wispy thin. She's basically wearing a silk kimono nightdress from head to toe, and it's just covered in paint stains. And she steps out and goes, oh my gosh, visitors, come in! Dredd's dad walks over and says, nice to meet you. He does not extend a hand to shake your hand. You don't think he shakes hands.
Creighton probably did extend her hand and then just slowly withdraws it.
Our heroes are reunited with Max, Dredd, and Chom and storm off to find the leader of this undead mess, but not before running into psychic, necrotic, exploding shades, which does not bode well for the nature of this upcoming local area boss battle.
Boulain, the one that's on you, whispers into your ear very softly. You can't quite tell what it means, but you do need to make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
Oh man, little ASMR shades.
Listen to me pluck at the bristles of this brush.
Let's get into it.
Hi, I'm Nate, and I will be your Dungeon Master.
Hi, I'm Mandy. I play Boulain, the Grave Domain Death Cleric.
Hi, I'm Creighton. I play the Sorcerer. This time of love, my boyfriend's in trouble, and I'm going to go fix it.
Yay.
Hi, I'm Robert. I play Zerus, the Paladin, who's protecting love this session, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all in it for love this time. It's better than in it for the gods. Doesn't it feel better?
It does.
Undead pass. Saving boyfriends, win.
All right, we have to save our himbo in distress.
He's not the himbo.
Dredd
I mean, I care about
himbo,
Max.
Okay, yes, but, we can
yeah,
also
Max
save
is.
Max. All right, I will cast a Mass Cure Wounds.
Creighton wipes the drool off the corner of her mouth from her stunning.
I'll be like, oh, you're doing that while you're awake this time. 12 plus 8 is 20 points back for everybody.
Woo!
That's pretty nice.
That
I'm still hurt,
good.
But not how's, nearly as hurt.
How's everyone looking?
I'm still down 22 points.
Almost 20, 18.
I'll go ahead and I'll get you both 15 back.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, thank
with
you.
With lay on hands.
I love this news, Zerus. You know, a little while ago, you would have just robbed Dredd's house. Now you're healing us.
Dredd's house still has problems.
There's nothing to steal in Dredd's house.
I mean, if they're famous artists,
they're famous artists,
that,
the artwork
isn't
is
that
valuable.
Practically like just grab a Banksy from the wall?
There's a lot of finished art to steal.
Okay, well, what will be our next move?
Well, the daylight moves with us, so let's get to where we need to go within the hour.
Yeah,
All right.
You keep moving. Roll me an insight roll, the three of you.
That's a nat one.
That's a 27.
That is a 23.
Boulain and Creighton, it occurs to you, what's different about these undead than the ones in Palmvale? There's two things. One, they're gathering negative energy, and it seems to be making them much more powerful. Plus, they explode when they die. That's bad. Thing two, though, is that in Palmvale, everything seemed to have been given one order and didn't seem to be able to think for itself or take additional commands. These things, which fled from the sunlight, also didn't seem to be able to think for themselves or make additional commands.
So there's something giving them orders.
But you do think something must be giving them orders because they didn't do this every night.
Okay. Boulain will also mention the whispering and say they are trying to turn us against each other.
We should be staying near Xeris.
Yes. Stand near me for a lot of reasons. That brings another thought to mind, but I want to discuss it after we deal with this.
Cryptic.
Survival roll, please. From everybody.
I think everybody?
Oh, okay. From everyone. All right.
I'm I was going to say,
hey,
14.
Hey, Max, can you lead?
23.
It's another nat one.
Nice.
Man.
Two successes to one failure. It takes you a little while to find this, but not a lot of while. There is a cave. It's a small one. It looks like you might have to duck to get in it, but it opens up once you're inside. And Dredd says, we're in the right area, and points at it.
In we go with our daylight.
It is not a concentration spell. That is nuts. Okay.
Nice.
You move into this cave. It's not very big. It reminds you of a bear cave. It smells a bit like a bear, which is why you're not terribly surprised when an elongated, desiccated bear stands up and its big bear jaws sort of flap a little bit and it says, welcome.
Hello.
Who are you?
Is this Vecna?
I'm Xeris. Who am I addressing?
I am a lieutenant of Vecna's.
Probably a vessel.
I would like to make a request of you.
Mm-hmm.
Before we fight.
I mean, you can ask.
I do not wish to destroy this town. My orders are to gather the dead from the catacombs and march east. Simply open the doors, and we need not fight.
Yeah, about that.
That's not all I'm going to need to not fight. Where's your master?
He comes and goes inside each of us when need be. We destroy him to send him away so that he may move to a new place.
I thought so.
I cannot answer your question. The God of Secrets is a subtle one.
Would you renounce your God?
I am made solely by him, for him, to serve him.
You have no choice?
There is no choice.
I can be very persuasive.
Go ahead and roll me persuasion.
Okay. I mean, I was just being cheeky.
It had a want, or it had a desire, so, you know, it might have some independence.
That's a 23.
It looks like it's about to jump you for just a moment, and the bear claws elongate. The arm stretches twice the length of the bear claw until they reach all the way down to the ground, and the claws have stretched way out. And then it sort of relaxes a little bit, as much as a undead thing can relax. It gives you the impression that it's less on guard. And it says, negotiations have not yet failed. You seem reasonable.
Well, depends on how zealous you are if negotiations succeed or not, because my aim in this is for you to not serve your or any god. And that really depends on the only thing I can offer you, which is not killing you.
I was going to try to use me not killing you as the bargaining chip.
Well, seems like that puts us at an impasse right away.
Then I am sorry? Not sorry. I am disappointed that we could not come to an agreement, and that this shell must be your doom.
One moment. I completely agree. Let me say a little prayer. And actually, I cast Crusader's Mantle.
What's that do again?
Crusader's Mantle is not going to help you. It's a 1-minute concentration spell. Everyone within 30 feet of me gets an extra d4 radiant damage on melee, on weapon attacks. Actually, not melee, just weapon attacks.
So it helps everybody but the sorcerer, and maybe not the cleric, but Max, Dredd, and Cham will be gods. I definitely need an initiative roll.
Sure. That's a 2.
Natural 20 for a 21.
Well, I get a 22.
Anything I can do, you can do better. I get it.
The lair action happens at initiative 20, which means before that happens, Creed, you're first.
It just looks like a bear. Does it look like it's reacting to daylight at all?
No, it does not seem to be reacting to the daylight. It also seems much smarter than everything else you've fought.
Most things tend to not like fireball, so I'm going to go with that.
Okay, you are in an enclosed space.
I thought that we were like a little bit away from it.
You are a little bit away from it. I'm going to say you're about 15 feet away from it, and behind it there is an open cavern. So you can toss it behind it. I will say you don't know what you're going to hit, but you can cast the fireball without hitting yourself. Or the party.
Don't think that there's probably lots of things that I care about in this cave, so yeah, I'm going to do that.
Now I'll tell you where all those school children went.
No, I was going to say, does he have hostages back there?
No, he doesn't.
Boy, this would go dark.
It wouldn't be the first time Creedence actions accidentally got people killed.
Okay, nat ones on that. Please go ahead and roll me your damage.
Dang, I rolled pretty good. 28 fire damage.
Okay, damn.
Nice. That was quite good. And I mean, as far as I can tell, this is a stone cavern, so I don't think anything's going to catch on fire, but let me know.
Yeah, I mean, there was no gas leak or anything in here.
Oh, yeah, one of those methane caves.
The fiery explosion illuminates the back of the cave, and you realize that it has this wild collection of stalactites and stalagmites casting wildly long shadows. But that seems to be the only trait that is visible just momentarily before the firelight goes out. Legendary action. A claw elongates even further, stretching 15 feet across the cavern in order to swipe at Xeris. 15? Does 15 hit your AC?
No, 21 is my AC.
Okay, a claw scrapes against the front of your armor, and you see, like, sparks of this soaked-up negative energy that has sort of infused this creature. But he doesn't hit you, and that brings us to Belaine.
She's going to use her second channel divinity for the day, and it's Path to the Grave. The next time something hits it, he is vulnerable to all of the attack's damage.
Okay. On lair action 20, the lighting changes. Your daylight is still providing a lot of power. It goes from bright to dim. So the lights turn down a notch.
All right.
Dim light typically means you'd have disadvantage for most things, but if you're near Xeris, it's still bright enough for you to see this guy, as long as he stays where he currently is. Claw, again, stretches out and is going to swipe, this time at Belaine. Yeah, 27's going to hit.
Yeah.
20 damage.
God damn. These things have to hit so hard. Why does these things got to hit so damn hard?
You are grabbed and pulled 15 feet up to his chest.
Ew.
Where he wraps his other claw around you in a very cuddly gesture.
Oh.
That's not good.
Yeah, I'm not liking that at all.
That is going to bring us to Xeris.
Get him, Xeris. Get him with the full-blown attack of whatever you do.
With the extra damage. Is it double damage?
It's double damage, yeah.
In that case, yeah, we're just going to step up and try to wail. Good news. I think we hit. We got a 26.
That super hits.
I will smite. I will assume that you are undead. I'm going to smite at level 2, which is going to be 4d8s. Okay. 20 radiant, 7 non-magical slashing. But the 20 radiant should help.
You cleave through this sucker. Huge chunks of bear hide to just go flying in all directions as this sort of mummified, anthropomorphized, shifted bear creature is nearly cleaved in half, but is still holding together.
Sweet. Second attack.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm gathering.
I love hearing all the dice.
Yeah.
It's a reassuring amount of dice.
It's not a reassuring amount of dice when you hit an AC of 11.
That's going to miss.
Yep. Okay. That's my turn.
Pity I was saving this.
Uh-oh.
And then the shadowy energy that it has been holding inside of itself explodes through the room.
No.
Oh, no.
Constitution saving throws from everybody, please.
Oh, God.
Are you casting
and Belaine's
a spell?
Out of range of the thingy.
It's not a spell.
Oh, that's sad. Constitution saving throw is a 20.
Plus 4. But I got a 16. Hopefully that's good.
Plus 4. Okay, so I got an 11.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Mandy, Belaine takes 34 necrotic damage.
Oh my god. Why are you trying to kill me?
How did you do,
Creighton? Did it just blow itself up? I got a 16.
Oh my god, I have to like get a calculator for this because I'm not sure I'm going to end up right.
I have my phone calculator.
Green takes 17 necrotic damage. Zerus, how was your save?
20.
You're fine. You're not fine. Take 17 more necrotic damage.
You got it.
Negative energy just explodes. This sort of wave of purples, greens, sort of lightning strips through the whole cavern. The cavern gets kind of darker. And when the lights come back up to their dim level, he's not standing there anymore. Which brings us to our NPCs, who all roll perception checks.
Should the hunters
mark? Does that mean Boulain gets dropped?
You're just lying there on the floor now, yeah.
She's not looking good, y'all. She's looking pretty near death.
I imagine.
You see Dredd go over there, and he points to the clear back of the cave and immediately fires two shots off.
It was within 30 feet.
I figured Dredd would do it.
So he shoots something back in the darkness. Mm. Y'all can't see it, but he hits it. Max runs into that location and starts swinging wildly, his axe glowing with radiant power. Reckless swing number one is going to hit. Reckless swing number two is going to crit. Max swings it. Chom goes running up and can't seem to find what they're fighting. Creighton.
Can I run up to Chom and just cast light on like his armor or something?
Yeah, so you sprint across this cavern, get to Chom. Cast light on him. Please give me, let's make it a charisma spell attack roll.
Oh, 20 dirty.
Your spell works. The light kicks off. It seems to be at full power for now.
Did it? Normally light just does it, doesn't it? Was this like, was there a weird effect that I could sense?
I will remind you that back at initiative 20, the lighting supernaturally dimmed.
Oh yeah.
You appear to have temporarily overpowered that.
Cool.
Go ahead and roll me a perception check as you're standing over by Chom.
Yeah, sure. That is an 11.
You can't see what they're swinging at. They're swinging into a patch of darkness behind a stalactite. Boulain, from a shadow, a claw reaches out and slaps Max pretty hard. Now, Boulain.
She's going to touch the raven on her chest and she's going to cast Guardian of Faith. And if she can't see this thing, she's going to cast it in the area where Chom and Max are.
All right. What does a large spectral guardian look like when you cast it?
Much like her spiritual weapon, it is in the form of a raven, but it's bigger and brighter and scarier.
It's giving off like a moonlight glow to it that is helping.
It's a dex save. 16 is the DC.
He takes 20 damage for that delightful
thing. Yes. Yeah.
Claws reach out and snap at Max, hitting him again.
How are our buddies doing?
Yeah, how are they looking?
Well, Max has taken 74 damage.
Oh my god.
So let's say bad. And Dredd has taken 35. He's also in bad shape.
No.
Chom has taken 35, and he's in pretty good shape.
How much has Zerus taken?
I'm at 62 of 84, so okay. 22.
I do have two potions of healing.
Which brings us to the lair action. Lights dim further. Creighton, your light goes out completely.
Man.
Zerus, your light doesn't dim any further. That's as far as it can go.
All right.
Zerus, it's your turn.
Is there still moonlight coming on it from the guardian?
There is.
Okay, great.
Yeah. It can't dispel the Guardian of Faith. It's too high level.
Quick question. Do we think that this is just like one of the lieutenants menacing this area, or do we think this is like the head honcho?
I think this is the lieutenant menacing the area.
I mean, what Dredd told us was there were five of the weird shadow things that attacked us outside. I think this is the thing controlling those guys.
Okay, that tells. I thought that we were going to have to fight more of these guys, so this tells me to pull out my stops. Cool.
First question. Can I see it?
Yes, you can see it.
Come up and join my friends. I will swear a vow of enmity against it. Vecna and all his sworn lieutenants must die, and that starts with you. 21 to hit.
That hits.
First level smite. That is 13 non-magical slashing and 10, 11, 15 radiant.
Okay.
That's a natural 20.
That's gross.
That is 12 non-magical slashing, 14, 16 radiant, an additional 4 non-magical slashing, and 20 radiant.
Okay, he's not looking good. I mean, he's always an undead bear. But he's going to see if his negative energy burst recharges.
No. No, it absolutely does not.
It does!
No! God, you're killing us, literally.
I think this is taking Boulain down, probably.
The good news is it can't reach you, Boulain.
Oh, good.
He teleported to the back of the cave, and the only people who ran after him were Xeris, Max, Chom, and Crete. So I need con saves from them.
And you get +4, because we're all clustered up around him. Like me. My 8
Fuck.
Is a 14.
That's a 9.
Oh, no.
I rolled a 2, yeah. I'm rolling lots of 2s tonight.
Okay, 14 is good enough, so Xeris, please take 17 damage. Creedon, that was not good enough. Please take 34 damage.
Is she down?
No, I add 50.
Max goes down.
No.
Chom is looking real bad now, but at least he can see the guy. Or at least he could, because when the darkness comes back up, he's teleported somewhere else again. That brings us to our NPCs. Dread, who is back by Boulain, rolls perception, spins around in a circle, and fires. Oh, Dread. How anticlimactic. Thank you, Dread. Dread puts a crossbow bolt in between its eyeballs. You see, back in the entrance where you had come in was where he teleported to, and the bear creature just sort of collapses.
Anticlimactic. That's very, like, very cinematic, very good on Dread. Where that just seems spin 180 and just no look.
If it's anticlimactic, we just survived.
I was straight up looking at, like, druid spells to think about using my green man boot. Yeah, right.
I immediately heal Max for 19 points of damage with lay on hands.
Yeah, I will do my second fifth level spell and cast mass cure wounds, or 20 hit points back for everybody.
Hello, listeners. It's me, Vana Ulare, the ghost of youthful beauty. The silver thread refers to the line that connects the soul to the body, or the mortal realm to the realm of the dead and divine. We took this moniker because we preserve the balance created by the Empire's first prophet, Astragarian Contessa. That balance is the power arrangement between the gods and the mortals. And we have taken on mortal guise, forever barring ourselves from divine realm, in pursuit of this balance. It's not a perfect metaphor, but Dayan fancies himself a poet and came up with it. Eternal Cycle, God of Time, was the first to predict the next upheaval, and he let word slip to Baba Yang. She brought word to me that again mortals would learn of the nature of the divine, and again they would choose the future. When the Green Man's prophecy fell to earth, we had already found our champions and steered them. We wanted them to be the ones to learn the truth and to choose the future. But how do you choose someone to change the world? Let me ask you a question. What does it feel like to be right? You might say it feels good. Now, what does it feel like to be wrong? No, you're incorrect. What you just said, that's what it felt like to discover you were wrong. But you were wrong well before that moment, correct? What did that feel like? It felt exactly like being right. And that is what righteousness is. It is a feeling. We can all get addicted to this feeling and seek to preserve it in the face of all odds, because the alternative is pain. For mortals, righteousness is a flaw, an irrational desire in the belief of right to the exclusion of the very nature of what it means to be mortal and human. But to a god, righteousness is the conviction one needs to represent a concept, to take on certainty, and to rule the universe. We did not go looking for the wise, the temperate, the measured. No, we went looking for the righteous, the unwavering and the uncompromising. And that is why we found the Dark Arbiters. They have the power required, the certainty, and the hubris to choose a path for the world to take. They have the makings of a god. And just like the gods are capable of pushing good and evil to its most extreme heights, challenge after challenge, I chose Bulain Kulema, whose soul is much like the one I had in life. Baba Yang chose several people, but in the end only Cretan survived and was propelled into ancient forgotten packs of power. I'm curious if you can guess who chose Xeris. Best not to spoil the surprise, but I can tell you it wasn't Dairn. But the point of this story is a different one, a simple one. Gods need champions, and they choose those people cast in the image of themselves. Singular in purpose, righteous in emotion. You might call them wise, but in truth the wise rarely change the world. Perhaps someday I will be wrong, but today is not that day. For the world belongs now to the Dark Arbiters. You folks have defeated some sort of reanimated cave bear, gifted undead intelligence, capable of commanding the local battalion of raised dead. When Max says... All right, so I'm pretty sure the next goal here is to collapse the catacombs.
Yes, that is probably the best thing we could do there, but understand that once we collapse the catacombs, some of those undead are still going to get out.
Well, this village has shown that it can take care of itself.
What is the best way to collapse the catacombs? I have only ever built them.
Dredd says catacombs are typically constructed with support arches.
Are they made of wood?
Typically they're made of stone, but when you first build them, they're made of wood. So there might be one made of wood.
Are they weak to fireball?
The wood ones.
Yeah, I could help with that.
I could use my stone shape spell to just remove a couple of the keystones, but I cannot do that to all of them.
Bulain, go ahead and roll me a history roll.
A history roll?
Yes, you have advantage, because it's history of catacomb design that we're specifically looking at.
That is a 12.
You're expecting 4 load-supporting archways.
We leveled up, and I took the 5th level spell Wall of Stone, and I was like, this is going to be handy now, except we need to destroy stone, not make more of it. So I think it's actually the exact... Wrong tool for the job.
I think it has use if we need to support the ceiling above us while we take out supports.
That's true.
I was thinking we would get on top of the building and take out the keystones from the roof.
Is there a roof we can use?
It has an earthen cover, so you'd have to do some digging.
A problem?
I mean, you have to tell me you're going to be digging through 6 feet of forest clay.
Oh, 6 feet?
Max can do that.
That doesn't sound so bad.
Max Chum and Xeris can all do that. No problem. And Max's mom. She's around, right?
I can summon a pony.
Helpful?
Pony dig!
I can do an insect plague on things.
All right.
I can polymorph you into a badger. Or maybe a mole.
I don't have movers.
Dredd says... We've noticed a lot of specialized units. It's likely that inside the catacombs there will be at least 2 types, shadows and skeletons, maybe some ghouls.
Those shadows were no fun.
Or some zombies. I haven't seen zombies since Palmville, though, so I'm guessing ghouls. The earthen barrier is possibly what's keeping the shadows from escaping right now. So we would have to fight shadows while we destroy it, even if we dig down.
Used our green man boots.
Too bad we do not have our friend Devious Dick.
Nope, right now I have nothing.
Max chimes in and says, so we can either dig down and break the archways, causing a collapse. It'll probably take us hours per archway to dig.
or we can fight our way through the undead and break down the archways as we go, escaping back out the front door.
Yeah, it might be quicker to do the second option. Just if we have to fight at each of the points.
Well, all we would be fighting from above are the shadows, whereas if we go in there, we will be fighting shadows, zombies, skeletons, and ghouls.
Yeah, that last round of shadows that we fought, it nearly killed us.
The shadows are no joke, but shadow, skeletons, zombies, and ghouls sounds like even less of a joke.
Max says, so does anybody have anything that could, like, keep shadows at bay? Like, what's the opposite of shadows?
Yeah, I used my daylight already. I don't have any more until some rest and relaxation.
Is there a reason we could not do this after having a rest?
I was getting the impression it's kind of time sensitive.
We might be able to do a short rest. I wouldn't mind that. I am bleeding quite a lot.
No, I agree. A short rest is in order, but I don't think we have time for anything more than that.
Max says, well, whatever's in there is trying to get out. So, I mean, we have until it gets out, but I assume it's digging.
Oh, okay.
How many do we have? There are the six of us, Max's mother, who else?
Yeah, anyone who in the town who can help would be great.
Dredd says, Team Carver has 12 people, Team Chopper has 8, and Team Splinter has 20.
How far overhead are these keystones going to be? Has anyone been in there and seen if we go in through the front door?
I'd guess like 6 feet tall.
Boulain, you would know that these are basically 5-foot arches.
Okay, so they're easy to reach.
They're very reachable. Yeah, no, there's not a lot of headroom in the catacombs.
Okay.
And you also would know that some of the stones are essential and some of them are not. So you don't have to, like, destroy the whole archway.
So are we agreed we're taking a short rest? Because I would like to roll some hit dice.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, you take a short rest.
Okay, so just to be clear, we are going to open the front doors. We are going to arrow our way to the back of the catacombs and start collapsing and collapse 2 arches from back to front.
Sounds like the plan.
So did we end up having any daylight to keep the shadows back?
Nope.
No, I have some radiant energy cantrips, but...
Okay, this is going to suck.
It is going to suck, unless there is a cleric in town who can do cast daylight.
We have Celestia and Seraphina here, so...
Oh, wait a minute. Let's take Celestia with us. Can we do that?
Make this a little easier for your planning. This is going to be a skill challenge.
Oh.
I don't know that that makes it easier, but okay.
I mean, it does mean your exact spell selection is less relevant.
I do appreciate that, because I'm sitting here looking through my old spell list.
That's right. You just wait until I try and persuade those shadows to leave us alone.
Yeah, I'm going to use my deception on them. They're not going to stand a chance.
So you arrive back at the... front line. Team Carver and their 12 people are guarding the entryway. About 6 of them are asleep and 6 of them are awake because they do this 24 hours. Team Chopper has only about 8 people left because the night shift is very dangerous. They are awake and alert. Team Splinter, which mostly operates during the day, is unconscious, basically with 20 people trying desperately to sleep. Celestia Goldensong, Bishop of the Radiant One, is trying to sleep, while Seraphina Moonglow, Bishop of the Luminous One, is awake. And Maxine and Jerry appear to be completely non-tired ever.
I'm not at all surprised.
We should ask Seraphina if she has daylight.
Seraphina says, yes, Creedon, how can I help you?
Yes, we're going to be... descending into the catacombs to bring them down and into this undead issue we've got. But we're going to need some help. We just fought some of them out in the woods. Things are real rough out there. Can you cast daylight?
I can. I have prepared it, although I don't usually, and my daylight is not nearly as powerful as Celestia's, but we could wake her up.
I think we should wake her up. I think there should be much rest for everyone after this.
And honestly, having 2 people who can cast daylight would be better than just 1, not to be morbid.
We'll see what we can do. Celestia walks over and kind of gently wakes up Seraphina, and the 2 of them stand up. A reminder, these are local bishops. They are quite old, so they do not look like they're ready to take a physical scrap on, but you do know they are powerful spellcasters. So Seraphina says, I can get a daylight orb running centered on myself that should keep anything that comes in close weakened.
I say centered on Xeris.
No, it should center on her, and she should remain at the center of our party,
oh, yeah,
so that she's protected. We just need to stay close to her.
Because we're going to just be in, like, narrow corridors.
Yeah.
If this is the last push, we could wake up Team Splinter.
Yeah, we did talk about wanting to wake them up. Do we still want to do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, if they'll be effective, yeah, sure.
The call goes out. Maxine, who is the head of Team Splinter, just walks into the middle of them and goes, "Get the fuck up!" And periodically, they all roll out of bed because Maxine is in charge and everybody knows it.
So, Creta, do you have Fireball?
Yes, I do.
So we should open the door and the first thing you should do is cast Fireball into the tunnel.
Absolutely. That sounds great to me.
I just worry we're going to do our job too quickly that way, but we can certainly do that.
Oh, are you concerned that we'll collapse the entry and not be able to take out the rest of them?
If Fireball's strong enough to do damage to the structure, then yeah, but we can see what happens. I mean, it's a good way to clear the entry, too, so.
The stone is not flammable, so.
It's a blast, too. It's not just fire. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
It's not wall of fire. It's fireball.
Do you have firewall?
maybe during the daytime.
Maxine walks up, and she's got all of her men ready. They're sort of bleary-eyed, but they're strapping on their leather armors and pulling out their axes. And she says, "All right. My boy took out their leader, so they should be, like, slow and stupid now." And Jerry says, okay. They did stop pounding on the door about 20 minutes ago. Is that relevant?
Probably.
They probably no longer have a direct purpose or orders that they're trying to follow, but they're still going to be dangerous to us.
We probably have to worry less about them being coordinated. I had a guess. I think. I don't know. Should I roll for that?
I mean, I don't know what information you would have to give you to let you figure that out. I guess insight, maybe?
Okay. 1. Boulain has no idea what she's talking about. She still says it, but she has no idea what she's talking about.
You don't know truly if their last order is the one they're going to keep following. If they're done with orders now.
All right, but it sounds like if they stopped knocking on the door about the same time that we killed their boss, then it sounds like that's not what they're trying to do anymore. So
they're not trying to break the door down, it would seem.
It's an improvement.
Max says, "All right, I'll throw the door open. Creighton, toss in the fireball. We cut our way to the back, and then we start breaking down the archways on the way back out. Team Chopper and Team Carver, kill anything that tries to leave while the door is open."
Sounds good.
All right. And to be clear, we are keeping the daylight casting clerics in the center of our party where they'll be protected.
Yeah, what should our marching order be? Where should you and I mean, Zira's in the front pretty much always, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
then
we're going to, rather than establish a marching order, we're going to describe this thematically because it's a skill challenge. So Max throws the door open and the skill challenge begins. The first thing you will notice is that the undead have left the front entryway and they have begun digging at the walls around the catacombs, tearing at the stone, basically trying to widen the tunnels outward and upward. So when you come in, they are actively clawing, mostly ineffectively, but eventually at the walls. Who would like to do something first? You need to fight your way to the back of the catacombs.
I think we had discussed me throwing a fireball first.
Yeah,
right?
I still think that's a good idea. Yep.
Okay, Creighton, an Arcana roll would be appropriate. Tossing a fireball into an enclosed area doesn't sound very hard at all to me.
Well, that's a 10.
Good news! That's an easy DC. You succeed in throwing a fireball
in
for a quick success.
I will go ahead and give a rousing speech telling everyone that if they perform their jobs well, and if need be, die valiantly, that everyone else will be safer for their efforts. And I will try to persuade everyone to do a better job.
All right, so this crew has been fighting for days. They're pretty tired, but they are very hardy people. I'm going to set this at a medium difficulty.
Oh, that's an at one. So 13.
Oh, no!
13 just misses.
They're like, "Who the fuck is this guy?"
Nate, what happens if we fail our skill check?
You'll find out.
Consequences.
Consequences will
like
be had.
We'll find out.
Boulain is going to try to organize the crew to enter the tunnels in the best logical order. Like, we're going to have the vanguard in the front, like the good tanks in the front, spellcasters behind them, you know, ranged weapons behind them.
I think that's a history roll.
Remembering military tactics.
You are doing military tactics into a standard enclosed space, which isn't too hard. You don't have too many choices, so let's say this is medium difficulty.
That's an 8.
That's a
we
fail.
We are yep. So good. We're going to be fine, guys.
So, at the end of the first round, you have cleared a massive hole. Everybody begins spilling in. There's kind of a bottleneck at the front. It's not going great, but there's a lot of human bodies mostly in the way. As you have pushed your way halfway into the catacombs, you need to go the other half.
How about this? I want to do something to fortify the person that has daylight on us. So I would like to do something like cast Death Ward on her.
Let's go with a religion roll.
Oh, man.
Since we've already done an Arcana roll.
So many of those in this campaign, and I don't like that. Oh my god, I rolled a 4 and I have plus 0. That's 4.
Oh no.
Okey-dokey.
We're doing so good, everyone.
You say you have plus 4 and you rolled a 0?
Rolled a 4 and I have plus 0 to religion. Because I didn't pay attention in church classes. Paid attention in magic classes. And only a little. Because I was a warlock for a while. Now I just have magic.
I was going to say, didn't even do that.
I didn't even do that. No, I know nothing. I'm good at lying and I'm good at persuading people and batting my eyelashes. That's all I'm good at.
I'm trying to figure out if this would be useful at all. I could cast Beacon of Hope on pretty much the entire party.
That seems useful.
That would be fortifying the group. I would let you make a religion roll to do that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out if that's helpful.
So what's going to happen here is you would mark that spell slot off and we would have you roll to defend the group with your religion skill.
Okay.
Yeah, so since I failed my check, but I used a spell slot, did my death ward work?
It did, but it didn't end up being effective.
Okay, so basically, like, they weren't attacking.
That was an 18 religion roll, so I think that should be a success.
So that is a success.
Hey.
What if I use divine sense to help point out threats and other issues as they come from the darkness, rather than waiting for them to surprise us?
I will let you choose between religion or perception for that.
In that case, we're doing religion. That's a 5, so 10 total.
Okie do. Your group has reached the back of the catacombs. You started with 20 civilians.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
If we get Max's mom killed, I'll never forgive myself.
Times 4 is 12 of them are dead.
Oh, God.
You have basically 8 peons left, as well as your named NPCs. I will warn you. If you get through those peons, I'm coming for your named NPCs.
No!
Okay, but you said that we have made it to the back of the catacombs? And we have pushed the undead ahead of us to the back of the catacombs?
They sort of scatter back into the catacombs in a lot of cases. So imagine the walls are sort of alive, but they are not in the hallway right now.
So I can't wall of stone trap them past the last doorway that we need.
You could. That might be something you do. So we're actually moving on to the next phase of our skill challenge. You need to destroy the stone archway at the back of the catacombs.
Can we first trap all the undead behind a wall of stone that Creedon puts up?
You could argue that that is how you are helping. So this is a new check. You can re-roll skills you have already rolled.
I would love to do that Arcana, I guess, for Wall of Stone, and that'll be a 5th level spell slot. And yeah, I'm just going to try to like wall them in.
I'm going to give you differing levels of success for this one. So you're going to roll Arcana. I would say you can lock a lot of them in with a 15, but to get all of them, you need a 25.
A 25? Okay, that's literally impossible for me. So we're aiming for 15 then. Set your sights low. That's a 16 on the dice plus 4, non-natural 20.
Nice.
That is essentially going to get you to a hard difficulty. You have trapped 2/3 of all the skeletons out away from you.
Nicely done.
With this spell. I'm going to go ahead and count that as 2 successes.
Yay! I am going to make sure everyone is herded ahead of me back towards the entrance, and then I'm going to go to one of the arches, and I am going to cast Stone Shape to remove the keystone, and then I'm going to book it to make sure it doesn't fall on me.
You have 2 choices here. There's the booking it to make sure it doesn't fall on you, In which case, I believe that's going to be an athletics or acrobatics roll. Or you can do the effectiveness of your spell, which would be a religion roll.
I'm going to go with the religion roll. That's a plus five versus a plus one.
Okay. So. Because this is your spell doing exactly what your spell does, the DC is easy.
Good. Well, I rolled a 17 plus five is 22.
All right, we're turning it around.
You easily achieve that objective.
Excellent.
I wanna try and intimidate the undead, but I don't like that plan.
Go for it.
All right, sure.
They're dumb as shit, so the DC's pretty hard.
I'll yell.
The power of Christ compels you.
Yeah, I was actually gonna say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." You know, the liturgies to repel the undead, but intimidatingly.
Okay, let's see it.
That's a 7, which brings us to a 15.
So you scare some of them. They back off, but not all of them, and then you basically still have civilians fighting.
As I go, I'm going to cast Word of Radiance, which affects all the creatures within 5 feet of me if it succeeds.
You've already rolled religion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this one is either Arcana or Intimidate.
Intimidation.
You are doing intimidation not with your words, but with actual light energy, which is their weakness. So I'm going to lower the DC to 15.
That's a 13.
Well, I'll tell you my plan. You tell me yours, and we'll figure out which one to do. My plan is to use an attack as my skill and use Smite to inflict as much damage as possible.
My stuff can be saved for the next one.
I'm not going to have you roll an attack roll.
Athletics?
Because it is a skill challenge. But athletics would be appropriate with advantage because Creighton has the ability to help.
Outstanding. Spending the spell slot. Athletics is a 20.
Most of the undead were blocked off, and so the collateral damage this time is limited to falling rocks. As you back up to the second archway, you realize that 3 people are missing.
Wow.
They are your unnamed NPCs, but you are down to 5.
Oh, God.
You are now at the second archway.
Okay, I'm going to do my other stone shape that's available to me and take out a keystone.
This is, again, a religion roll, and again, easy DC 10.
That's an 18.
I'm going to see if Max will help me escort everyone safely out.
Athletics would be pushing people back out?
Yeah.
Okay, you're hurting humans who want you to be in charge. So this DC is going to be easy. Athletics 10.
I've rolled a 2. That's a 9.
Oh, no.
Missed by 1.
I'm doing everything I can to make this good.
No, it's not working out. We're not. We're having very middling roles here.
Well, it's a fight. Creighton, anything up your sleeve?
I was hoping to try and use a persuasion roll to really just stroke the egos of Sharp Edge of the Pub and be like, you guys, that lodestone, you got this. You're so strong, Max. You're also pretty strong, Chum. Dread, you're just brilliant. You can probably hit it with an arrow. Like,
hit it with your brain.
Figuring out the angle to shoot it at to break everything.
Go ahead and give me a persuasion roll to basically coordinate more effectively these NPCs.
All right, that is a total of a 21.
Nice. So they are friendly to you. That lowers the DC significantly, which means you beat that total by double. I'm going to go ahead and give you 1 extra success for that. Okay, we are 3 successes to 1 failure. What's next? Mandy, last turn, now that I'm thinking about it, your number was also a double success, so I'm going to go ahead and pass that to this round.
Oh.
4 successes to 1 failure.
Yeah, cleave rules on success.
Take a quick look around, triage style, and I'm going to recognize the wounded people who need help, help them along.
Perception or medicine?
It's a 9 on the die, which is a 17.
So at this point, one more NPC does go missing in the collapsing of the tunnels. You arrive at a third archway. This one is not actually a main archway for the main tunnel. It is a wooden archway that is an extending tunnel. So they were trying to expand the catacombs off to the right.
Burn it.
Can
Burn.
I cast Fireball and do an Arcana check?
Yep, that would be a DC 10.
All right. That is going to be an 18.
Okay, that's a success.
Yay!
With the power of my commanding persuasion, I will yell at everybody about the incoming fireball. Like, get down! Look out! Hide!
Yeah, I gave no warning. Okay. I just was like, wood!
You sounded like Arnold Schwarzenegger for
Fire
a second there.
In the
everybody hole. Get down!
Get to the chopper. So you're coordinating people so that the fireball doesn't take out any friendlies. They want this to work, but again, enclosed area, avoiding a fireball. I'm going to set it at 15, medium difficulty.
Oh, no.
Persuasion?
Why did I forget to yell before firing my fireball?
All right, I've rolled a 7, which means it's a 19.
That is a success.
Yay!
All right, the people are out of the way. The tunnel is on fire. What else you got?
I'm going to take my quarterstaff and whack at the wooden arches that are on fire to, like...
Athletics, please.
Oh, damn it. Nate, I'm not good at that. Can I give my staff to Tazurus to do it? And help? That's like the help?
Here. Set down your axe and use my staff to get rid of the wood.
All right, come on, athletics. Oh, well, that's a 10.
Knocking down these wooden beams is not easy. I was going to give that a medium, so that is a failure.
Oh, bummer.
I'll hack at them with my athletics.
We're going to do another medium here.
Sure. That's a 11 for an 18.
That's a success.
Can I do my Word of Radiance thing again?
Yeah, you can try another Intimidate to keep them back.
Yeah.
Radiant Energy, DC 15.
That's a 6.
Okay.
I will use Abjure Enemy to disrupt the undead that are still harrying us, like the shadows and whatnot.
Religion or Intimidate?
Let's use Intimidate. 17.
You channel your divine power and you scare the shit out of some of them.
Be afeard. Be very afeard.
When the wooden support beams fall, at this point you collapsed a stone one in the main hall and a wooden one in the offshoot, and the lack of space causes a cave-in. Essentially, all the way to the third archway that you were dealing with collapses, but you were not expecting it. You're under it. What do you do?
Run!
Run!
I hop on my broom and go!
I use athletics to help Creedon get free.
Give me an athletics roll. This is going to be hard because they're literally boulders.
That's a 25 on that one to help Creedon get
nice.
Free.
You grab Creedon and throw her out of the way of falling boulders.
You said that the other two were collapsed, right? So the wall of stone that I was maintaining, in theory I don't need to maintain that anymore.
Yep, correct. You can let that go.
Is it possible to do a wall of stone above us to, like, reinforce the ceiling, basically, and stop it?
If you have the spell slot?
I have 1 5th-level spell slot left. I will not use it to telekinesis the lodestone, but I'll use it to save our baby.
This is using a spell to do what the spell is intended for, so that's going to be easy. Please give me an arcana roll.
Okay, that is a 17.
You succeed. So the way this worked is because you generated 2 failures on that last round, you needed to find 2 successes here to avoid the cave-in damage, and you have done so. You now back up all the way, your regular humans, as well as your named NPCs, who are fighting for their lives, spill out of the door into the main camp, where they are joined by almost 20 more humans with axes who are prepared to assist you, and Jerry.
Did Maxine make it?
She did.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
You have 4 more humans that can still die before Maxine dies.
She is named.
Belaine is going to point to the door archway and say, we need to take it down.
You can roll Persuasion, I think would be very appropriate. These people are very eager to do some damage. I think the DC is only 10.
Zerus and I are both like, no, our Persuasion checks.
Well, I got a 13.
No!
Okay, that's still a success. The people start attacking. You see axes in all directions, prying at stones. The door is swarmed. What else?
Can I smite the door?
Sure. Because you're doing holy damage, you can roll religion. Otherwise, an athletics would be appropriate.
I'll take the athletics again.
Okay. And if you mark off a spell slot, I will lower the DC from medium to easy.
I have marked off a spell slot, and my score is a 19.
Okay. That is a success.
Can I fireball it?
You can fireball it. It's going to be a little bit more resistant to this than previous rolls with fireball, so I'm going to call this a hard difficulty arcana roll.
Is that DC 20?
It is.
This is a 4th-level fireball that I'm casting, because I'm out of 3rd-level slots, so...
Okay, you're going to upcast it. I will lower it to medium.
All right. Okay.
It is a powerful fireball.
And that is a 19.
Okay, that is a success.
I'm glad I upcast it.
Okay, I'm going to use my last channel of divinity for the day to destroy undead.
Ooh, yeah.
Religion?
Okay, religion would be very appropriate for that. And again, this is a power used for the purpose of the power. That will be an easy check.
Natural 20.
That counts as 2 successes?
Yay!
Can I just be like, put your backs into whatever you want and try to hype them up a little?
I think you're going to need to command someone to do something specific, but I will allow a persuasion roll.
Maxine!
Maxine rages and with Samsonite power grabs the massive door that was on here. Kindly roll me persuasion.
That was a 19.
You shout, get some, girl, or whatever.
That's exactly get what it. I shout.
Get it, girl!
And she rips the door off of its hinges and throws it back.
Yeah, she does.
That was 6 successes and no failures. No one else dies.
Yeah! Woo.
And that is our show today. Special thanks to Todd Ferguson of My Pet Machine for our tunes, Julie at Elaborate Flight of Fancy for our logo, and you for leaving us a rating and review. And with that, our heroes have a world to save. Let's see what they decide to do on Carrots and Suffering, a D&D Odyssey.